Okay, so why don't you open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 1. We've looked at Elizabeth and Zechariah, and then last week we were looking at Mary. Today we're looking at Joseph. And it's really more, last week was about receiving in faith, and today is more about responding and acting in faith. I actually called it crazy faith because of the, sometimes God's ways just seem crazy. And the things God calls you to do seem crazy. And when he starts to supernaturally speak into your life, you can actually question, is that really you, God? Because this seems insane. This seems ridiculous. So think about this. From Joseph's perspective, Jesus was adopted. Or Jesus was a stepson, which means Joseph was stepdad. Voluntarily stepdad or adoptive father, depending on how you want to look at it. But Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus, but he assumed the role and led a blended family based on God telling him to do this. That wasn't a real popular thing to do in his day. To say, here's this woman who's pregnant, I'm going to marry her, and I'm going to be the father to her baby, even though it's not my son. So sometimes when God starts to speak to you, he totally leads you out of your expectation. He leads you out of your comfort zone, for sure. And he leads you into the realm of crazy, where you think, what are people going to think of me? And I think that's what we tend to deal with more than anything, is not so much, God, what you're asking me to do seems crazy, but God, other people around me are going to think I'm crazy. I remember when I felt like God told me to make myself available to the pastor of our church when I was graduating from college, when it's time to go get a job. And for my degree, which was a music performance degree, that's not worth anything unless you go on to get a master's degree. And then with a master's degree, it sets you up to teach in universities. And so with all practicality, I should have gone on and right out of my undergrad degree, right into working on a master's to prepare myself for being a university music professor. Or to keep training so that I could be playing in a symphony somewhere or whatnot. And I felt like God said, make yourself available to, his name is Steve Valentine, make yourself available to Steve. And so I was like, this seems crazy. Now, to me, that doesn't bother me so much. But my mother-in-law at the time was not a Christian, nor was her husband, nor was my wife's father or his wife. So all of the people that have raised and invested into my wife, and I have now stolen her, and I'm supposed to lead her, and I'm supposed to provide for this family, and now I'm supposed to tell everyone, yeah, God told me to volunteer at my church instead of going out and getting full-time work.
And I was still in school and pregnant.
Yeah, Becca was still in school and pregnant. with our second child. So it seems crazy. Sometimes when God speaks to you, it seems crazy. Now, I'll tell you right off the bat. I submitted that to our pastor and elders in our church. And I said, if you guys tell me I'm nuts and you tell me to go get a job, I will do that. Because this seems crazy to me too. But I really feel like God is leading here. So I submitted it to him and they said, well, let's give it a shot. It actually changed the whole course of my life, set me up for a life getting to lead people and teach people, not just about music, but about Jesus. And I'm thrilled that we made the crazy choice. It was crazy at the time, and not so crazy when you look back at it. Because really, when God's ways are crazy, it's only in our eyes that they're crazy. It's his eyes. think about that with the principal. Her name was Dawn Hochsprung at Sandy Hook Elementary this week. She was sitting in a meeting along with the school psychologist and some other people in the meeting, and they heard gunshots in the school building. And both Dawn Hochsprung and this psychologist, her name was Mary Sherlock, they purposely ran out of the meeting and into the trouble, where they could have, and no one would have faulted them for it at all, others in the room did, got down behind the tables and protected themselves and gone into defense mode for themselves. Instead, they went voluntarily into the face of danger, and they died for it. It seems crazy. And yet, when God begins to move in your heart, you will do things that aren't about your own self-preservation. They're about something bigger than you. And this is exactly what God did in Joseph. So let's read this. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. We're going to read through verse 25. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband," we would read that in our culture today, "her fiancé." "So her husband," her fiancé, "Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly," or break off the engagement. "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." What's really cool about this, several things we're going to pull out here today. When God begins to move on Joseph, and when God begins to move on us, he supernaturally moves us from being simply a people of faith. "Oh, I'm a person of faith. I have faith." He moves us from being people of faith to people of action. Now, that I'm not saying he moves you out of the realm of faith and replace that with action, but your faith produces action. And I know we were talking this week, or meeting this week, and talking a little bit about the book of James. James is all about action. It's moving from, yes, I have faith, into acting in faith. And this is what God does to us. In verse 24, it says, "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did." You could underline that, circle it. "He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him." He didn't just hear a prophetic word. He didn't just hear some wisdom and say, "Oh, I've heard something good." He acted on it. He did something about what God was saying to him. So Joseph's reaction as a person of faith prior to supernatural intervention, supernatural revelation, this is Joseph. He's a just man. He's a good man. He's not wanting to embarrass Mary. He could have requested her to be brought to trial, judged, even executed. They could have gone down that route. He said, no, being a good and just man, he resolved to just kind of quietly deal with this and put her away quietly. This was his natural response as a person of faith. I want to respond in a godly way to a bad situation. This is practical mind thinking. Bad things are happening. I want to respond biblically, but I want to respond with grace to people. I want to respond in mercy. So we'll make this a very nice breakup. Yeah. He wasn't looking to get even. He was actually thinking of Mary, even in the process of finding out she's pregnant with someone else's child. Contrast that to his reaction. Now, as a person of faith-filled action, following God speaking to him, following supernatural intervention, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife. So James 2:26 says this, faith apart from works is dead. Faith apart, let's put this into real language. Faith apart from action is powerless. You say, I have faith for healing, but I never pray for the sick. It's impotent. It's powerless. I have faith to see great breakthrough in Spokane, but I really don't want to ever have to talk to anyone about Jesus. It's powerless. We can be people of faith without being people of action. And those people don't see a lot of breakthrough. So we want to be people of action. James 2:18 says this, I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you what's inside of me, what's real inside of me. I'm going to prove it to you by what I actually do. And this is what Joseph did. An angel shows up to him and says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Go ahead and marry her. This is of God. And he did it. He did it. He could say, I believe this. I believe this was a word from God. I just don't have the faith to act on it. He didn't do that. He said, I believe this was God. And he moved. Now, this is it's one thing when God shows up to you and says, this is okay. I did this. But actually, we have a story in Scripture from the book of Hosea where it's completely different. Joseph got to respond. God says, it's fine. She hasn't been unfaithful to you. Marry her. God also, talking about the crazy ways of God and crazy faith, God shows up to a prophet named Hosea. And he says, Hosea, I want you to go out and marry a prostitute. Because I want to make a point about how my people are unfaithful to me. And she was unfaithful to him. Even after he married her, she would continue to go out and sleep around. She would continue to go out and cheat on him. And he would keep going back to her and bringing her back. And he would keep loving her and keep extending forgiveness and grace to her. Because God's telling him to do this. Now imagine if God tells you a similar thing. It's crazy. It's the realm of crazy. Apart from God. And if God does tell you that, please weigh that. And test that. And get input on that. New Testament prophetic ministry is not just you and Jesus. But you and us and Jesus together. It seems good to us and the Holy Spirit. So I'm not asking you to all go out and start seeking angelic visions and just go with it. We test it. We weigh it. So the first thing God does on Joseph and in our lives is he supernaturally moves us from being people of faith to people of faith-filled action. The second thing he does, he supernaturally moves us to take responsibility. Responsibility for leadership, not only for ourselves, but for the lives of others. Again, in verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. He took a wife. And he accepted the responsibility of being her husband. He accepted the responsibility, knowing that is going to mean being the father to this son that he's been told he's supposed to name him Jesus. And he's going to save, people. It's interesting to me in today's culture how men especially have been almost discouraged from taking real leadership and taking responsibility and stepping up into places of like spiritual authority or taking authority as a dad and accepting the responsibility that God said you're actually called to lead your wife. Men have been so beaten down in this that, no, this is somehow wrong, that guys are afraid to step into responsibility. And what we have is this term, this psychologist came up with this term. He calls it the bondmen. B-A-N. I don't remember what language it comes from, but it means boy. The boy men. Men who never really grow up. They might be... my brain is going right into Big Bang Theory with these four college professors and researchers who are addicted to their video games. Poor Wolowitz can't even talk to a girl.
Raj.
You're right. Raj can't talk to a girl. Wolowitz is the whole other end of the spectrum. These guys, they're very underdeveloped as men. They're like adult boys. Many men today, they're afraid to grow up. It's like this Peter Pan generation where, you know, we can go hang out with our stories and our fantasies and play our video games. I'm not saying don't ever play video games. But it's like you can kind of escape into this little reality where you don't have to walk into responsibility in the world. Well, that's not God's design for you. And ladies, that's not God's design for you either. As you're maturing and growing into mature womanhood or mature guys now, mature manhood, God's designed us to step into responsibility. The age of marriage today actually has gone higher and higher and higher. And a lot of it is I don't want to put it all on the guys, but when guys will step up and be willing to commit into a relationship and the responsibility that marriage brings, the age of marriage will tend to come down. And when guys don't, the age of marriage tends to go up because the ladies are waiting for these guys to step up to the plate. When God's asking you to supernaturally, in His power and in His ability, step in and take authority and take responsibility, it's interesting how He does it. Looking at Joseph's life, He's asking Joseph to take responsibility for someone who may have offended him, to step in and give leadership to someone who hurt him. He finds out his fiancée is pregnant, and he knows he's not the dad. And yet God says, I want you to get involved in their life. I want you to get involved in the life of Mary and provide leadership to her and to her son. God may ask you to do the same thing. People who have hurt you, people who have offended you, people who have let you down. And you say, but God, I don't know if things could ever really be the same between us again. And yet God's saying, well, you step up and take responsibility. Now notice with Joseph, there's supernatural enablement to do this. It's by a word from God, not just, I should do this, but God speaking into his life and saying, no, this is okay. I'm calling you to do this. It's crazy. Think about the parents this week in Connecticut who their children have been killed. That unforgiveness that could get into their heart, the root of bitterness. I mean, how easily, I think about that with my own kids, as someone that would be so hard to engage with the family of the killer. And yet, God calls us to forgive. We know it biblically, we're called to forgive. But it's great that we serve a God, Emmanuel, God with us, that when he calls us to forgive in crazy ways, he doesn't call us to do it on our own. He comes with us. He comes to engage with us in that and speak to our hearts and empower us to do the very thing he's calling us to do. He showed up to Joseph in a dream. He sent an angel, the angel of the Lord, to Joseph in a dream. to say, it's okay. And he'll do the same kind of a thing for you. He will speak to your heart in just the way you need so that you can do the thing he's calling you to do. God, he's moving on us to take responsibility in the lives of others who may bring shame upon us. He was walking into a culturally shameful situation. At best, people are thinking of Joseph, you couldn't wait. And your fiance is pregnant, and you're going to, at your wedding, she's going to be the pregnant bride because you just couldn't wait. That's the best. You've also got, she wasn't even faithful to you. He's walking into this. Well, God will ask us to step into the lives of people who may bring shame upon us. It could be people that are from a lower social class or economic class than you. I experienced that this week, actually, where I was sitting at a table with a guy who I don't know to this day. I don't know if he was mentally ill or if he had messed his brain up with drugs, or I don't know what it was, but he was mentally off and belligerent and obnoxious at my table. He smelled a bit funny, and I'm sitting at the table with this guy, and don't worry, it wasn't any of you guys.
Sorry, Dom.
You guys are like, oh gosh, checking myself. No, it was. I'm sitting at the table with this guy, and the rest of my family leaves, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, other people around aren't even going to know if this aroma is coming from that guy or from me. I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, I would love to move to another table. And I felt God just saying, no, just be here. Be here. And I was just embarrassed. I was embarrassed to be there. I felt bad that I was embarrassed to be there. And yet I was able to just stay. And I actually had a good talk with the guy's ex-wife. That wasn't awkward or anything. They had been divorced for 4 years, and I'm at the table with the two of them. It seems crazy when God asks you to risk your reputation to love other people. It seems crazy when he's asking you to step into the lives of the unlovelies or the untouchables of society and to love them. And to care for them and have relationship with them, invest into their lives. And yet that's exactly what he called Joseph to do, is to step into the life of Mary and continue stepping deeper into the life of Mary, wading in with both feet. And we would say, you know, with a wedding ring and an oath, till death do us part. God will do that. And it might seem crazy to you when he does it. But when he does it, if you think, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? It'll enable you to respond in faith. Not just be a person of faith, but act in faith. Thirdly, God may ask you to take responsibility in the lives of others who cannot provide for themselves now, but will go on to change history. And you may not know that. You don't know what God is doing in the life of this one person that he's asking you to reach out to. This one person he's asking you to step up, take the responsibility to be the one, be the man, be the woman that engages in their life. And who knows what kingdom impact. Joseph had the privilege. It began by marrying a single mom-to-be. And accepting the responsibility to lead a blended family. And he got to be the father of the Savior of the world. He's the dad of Jesus. Wow. You never know what it is that God is setting up. We don't even get a picture of Joseph after Jesus is 12. And they take him to the temple. They go to Jerusalem. And they leave, and they have to come back because Jesus is lost. I'd like to have that responsibility. We lost Jesus. He's the savior of the world. He's supposed to be the savior of the world. We lost him. They come back. They find him in the temple, talking with the priests, talking with the religious leaders. And they get him and they take him home. And it says Jesus was submitted to his mom and his dad. And that's the last you hear of Joseph. But he just was a dad. He was a dad. He took responsibility. He was a husband. He took responsibility. He had a job. He taught his son to be a carpenter. He just took the responsibility. He stepped up. It's crazy. It may seem crazy to give when we may get little to show for it. But Joseph has gone down in history as the father or the stepfather, the adoptive father of Jesus, who took the responsibility. He's been honored throughout history for that step of faith, that act of faith. Now, the third thing, God will supernaturally direct us so that we can act in faith rather than in presumption. You could walk out of here and think, well, I need to go out and I need to go find some people to love. I've got to go make this happen. I have to make this happen. Guys, God will lead you. God supernaturally spoke to Joseph. His life course was totally altered by his actions after the visit from the angel. He had the faith to marry Mary. He had the faith to marry her because God supernaturally intervened in his life. When we got to meet a young man named Tom, it would have been just over a week ago. Actually, almost 2 weeks ago now. I wasn't looking for an evangelistic opportunity. I wasn't looking for much of anything other than saying, God, I just want to be available to you. And, you know, set this up. I'm a relational guy more than the guy who's going to walk up to somebody on the street and say, hey, do you know Jesus? I'm a relational guy. Well, I'm sitting there and this young man named Tom engages with us because of our Montana gear that we were wearing, which turns into a follow-up conversation about Jesus and him saying, I just need to turn my life over to Jesus. I need to do a 180. I want to do this. I'm not even sure how to do this. What do I do? Wow. And I'm sitting there going, well, I know how we can do this. But I didn't have to go out and really be digging for an evangelistic opportunity. God brought it right to me. I'm not saying don't ever do that. When God moves on your heart to talk to somebody, talk to him. When God moves on your heart, take that step of faith, engage. But you don't have to be like, where are they? Where are they? Is it you? Is it you? Is it you? Maybe I have to share my faith with someone today. I'll feel really bad. Now, you don't have to act in that kind of presumption. God will supernaturally lead you. It was 10 years ago when we wanted to move to Spokane and plant a church. At least 10. I think we started talking about it even longer than that. But 10 years ago, we wanted to come, but the timing wasn't right. The timing was off. If I would have moved to do it, it would have been presumption. And then it was 2.5, almost 3 years ago, when we're praying together and God broke my heart over the city. And it was like, we've got to do this. Only it was a God leading us to do it rather than, well, we should probably go there and do it. You know, I like the town. You know? God led us. It's crazy. It seemed crazy. People are like, what are you doing? Your kids are really established where you are. Your reputation in Missoula is great. You've got influence in the church and in the community. Got a good job, lots of family. Everything is all here. What are you doing walking away from that and walking out because God broke your heart over a city that you don't live in? It might seem crazy, But it's not crazy to walk into the unknown when you're walking with God. It's not crazy to step out in faith and go, everything doesn't make sense yet, but God said, so we go. Now here's how God did this for Joseph. I'm going to flip over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's great how God used the angel and spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 7, says this: to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit, my translation says, the utterance of wisdom, a word of wisdom; to another, a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit; to another, faith by the same Spirit; to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit; to another, the working of miracles; to another, prophecy; to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits; to another, various kinds of tongues; and to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So the angel comes to Joseph. He's already having a supernatural dream. I don't know if he realized he's having a supernatural dream. He's just dreaming. He's dreaming, and in his dream, an angel comes, and he says to him, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. He says to him, take her as your wife. What that is a word of wisdom. What do I do? When you're asking, what do I do? God was faithful to bring him a word of wisdom. This is what you need to do. That's 1 Corinthians 12:8, the word of wisdom. The angel also has a word of knowledge. Sort of duh, because everyone knows this. She's pregnant. But he says she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So Joseph is finding out from this word what is really happening. That's a word of knowledge. And then in verse 10, the angel prophesies and says he will save his people from their sins. So God supernaturally directs us so we can act in faith through his Spirit. He gives Joseph, like right here in this instance, you've got three different spiritual gifts operating to give him faith to do what God's calling him to do. Word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and a prophetic word, all happening simultaneously to give him faith. And that's exactly what God will do for us. We are a people of the Spirit. This series, we're calling it supernatural. The supernatural activity around the birth of Jesus. God is supernaturally involved still today in our lives. He wants to do it through you. He wants to use you through words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophetic words. He wants to use you to pray for the sick. He wants to use you to do miraculous things in Spokane and in Post Falls and wherever you go. He wants to use you to do this. And he'll use other people around you to bless you through these same things, to empower you for action, just like he did with Joseph. So here's the conclusion on this. God's a supernatural God. And in my own notes, I underlined God. He's the center. This all focuses in on Jesus. Jesus is the central focus of any healthy spirituality. When anything else becomes the focus, we slip into a works-based living. We slip into where, well, I should be evangelizing more. Well, your focus becomes more on I and me than on this amazing God we serve. When he's the focus, we're naturally provoked to great action. When we're the focus, we feel guilty that we should be acting more. So it's God. He's the supernatural God. He supernaturally directs us. Supernaturally, he wants to engage with you. Emmanuel, God with us. He wants relationship with you throughout your everyday life. He wants you to lead a supernatural Christian life. Thirdly, he directs you. He directs you. This means he has the authority and maybe even the audacity to command our lives and to lead our lives. He is Lord. He is master. God has the right to speak into your life and say, I want you to do this. But he won't ever do that without also filling you with faith for the very thing he's calling you to do. And if you're ever feeling pressured into something without the faith to do it, you know, one of two things. Either this isn't really God leading you, this is religion, or religiosity, guilting you into something, or you need to hang out with Jesus, where you're going to find the faith to do what he's calling you to do. And the way I wrote this in my conclusion, I wrote, God supernaturally directs us. And under us, this means he isn't just, like, this whole thing isn't just for someone else. This is for you. This isn't just a story about Joseph. This is a story about us and how we engage with God, how we get to engage, how God wants to engage with us. In this context of togetherness, all of us together, he wants to speak to each one of you. He wants to lead you personally into great acts of valor for the kingdom of God. He wants to do this. He wants to speak to us today. He wants to give us direction today. He wants to engage relationally with us today. He wants to lead us forward in a life of crazy, faith-filled action with him. I'd say this, if you don't feel like God's asking you to do something crazy, you probably need to ask again. If it doesn't seem crazy, you're thinking too small. I'm dreaming of a church where we have 400 engaged, activated, 400 activated men. Not to mention how many activated women, kids. And I just felt like God had put that in my heart to ask for 400. And like, that seems a little audacious. It seems a little crazy to even ask that when we're sitting here with all of our college students having gone home for winter break, a few of us gathered in here. It seems a little crazy, but I believe it. I believe God put it in my heart. I believe God wants us to do great things. And it's going to happen one at a time. It's going to happen with us engaging. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you engage with us. You promised through that angel and that dream that Joseph had that Jesus was going to be the one who saved his people from their sins. That he was going to come, be Emmanuel, God with us. And so Jesus, we thank you. You are with us. You are still the same God, Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever, the same God. You want to speak to us. You want to lead our lives by the Spirit. God, that we don't have to just go out and engage in good deeds because we should, but we get to be led by your Spirit supernaturally, just like Joseph was, to do things that may seem crazy to society, but they are radically impacting for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus, that you've called us to great deeds. You've called us to be men and women who accomplish great things in the kingdom of God. And Jesus, we just want to point it all back to you. We recognize it is all because of you. None of this would be possible without you having come, being birthed as one of us, living for us, dying for us, and rising again from the dead, triumphant, enabling us to live with you and to live an empowered life with you. Jesus, we praise you. Thank you for that. Amen.